Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to the Inner Life for a Thursday, not just any Thursday, the Solemnity of the Annunciation. I almost said Assumption, another great Marian feast, but the Solemnity of the Annunciation. And as we look at the Annunciation today, let me ask you, when has God presented you with a tough decision in your life? And not just any tough decision, but that really, really big one. That one that stands out in your mind, the one that might change everything, the one that feels like it might even break you. Maybe you've had to face a few of these moments in your life. How did you respond to it? Did you follow where God was asking you to go, knowing that it would probably be the more difficult path? Did you make that choice willingly? Or did you hesitate? Or even more than hesitating, did you try and run the other way? And how did that turn out? Today being the Solemnity of the Annunciation, I keep on wanting to say the Assumption. Today being the Solemnity of the Annunciation, the day when we celebrate the Archangel Gabriel appearing to Mary and telling her that she would be the mother to the Messiah, the Promised One, we're going to spend the next hour looking at how Mary's response can really be a shining example of how we should respond any time that God calls us to do something for Him and for His kingdom. And I thought it would be a good idea to begin today's hour by reading through the account of the Annunciation. And this is from St. Luke's Gospel, the first chapter and verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Again, that is the account of the Annunciation in St. Luke's Gospel. And there we hear Mary giving her yes. For a lot of us, if we've been in the Catholic Church, if we're very familiar with that story and hearing it year after year and contemplating that, especially around leading up to Christmas, thinking about it during the season of Advent, maybe praying the joyful mysteries, that yes, may it be done to me according to your word. That yes, it changes everything. And so I want to ask you, how have you said yes to God in your own life? Was there a time where you've been reluctant to answer that yes? Or did you immediately say yes to God, even if you knew you were heading into a difficult situation? And how did that turn out? Were you able to look back and know that even though it was a tough time, that everything did work out for good? Maybe you're going through that tough time right now and you're trying to follow God. Well, that's the conversation we want to have today and look at how Mary can be that example, but also how we can have that trust in God that where He is leading us. And I want to welcome to The Inner Life today, for the very first time, Father Craig DeYoung. He's a priest in the Diocese of Austin, Texas. He's the pastor of Our Lady of Wisdom University Parish, which serves Texas State University in San Marcos, Texas. Father Craig, welcome to The Inner Life.
Thanks, Josh. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and so as we look today at the Annunciation, maybe the first place we could start is this date. You know, I mentioned we spend maybe more time possibly thinking about this Annunciation moment when we get into the season of Advent. But, you know, if there's moms listening out there, I'm guessing they could easily put together why the church has chosen today as the day to celebrate the solemnity of the Annunciation. But for anybody who might not realize the significance of this date, can you give us a little insight as to why today is when we remember the Annunciation?
Sure, of course. You know, so the date of we celebrate the birth of our Lord, the Nativity of our Lord is, of course, December 25th. And March 25th is 9 months before that day. And so there's, just a beauty of the church's liturgical year of preparing for 9 months for that day. And just like when, you know, someone conceives a child, that sort of happens in a kind of a secret way. It's not something that's well known to family and friends sometimes for a few months or the like. It kind of happens in a similar way for the church. And so we get to sort of accompany Mary through that pregnancy and the beauty of that secret way that the incarnation sort of takes place. And then we celebrate it in a very public way as we get to the Nativity of our Lord and the Christmas.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that you mentioned there is that it happened kind of in a private way initially. And I was thinking about that because the final words that the Archangel Gabriel says to Mary are, "Nothing will be impossible for God." And those are words of hope. And, in fact, here at our chapel, of the Nativity at our headquarters for Relevant Radio in Green Bay. Those words are up on the back wall right behind the crucifix that's behind our altar in the chapel. But I was thinking about how when Mary, at the time when she lived, if she was unmarried and pregnant, it very likely could have meant a death sentence for her. And as soon as she said yes, she probably knew that she could be facing a public execution, being stoned to death. But those final words that the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary, they really can be as true for us now as they were for her then. Nothing is impossible for God. So when everything seems dark or bleak or when it looks like there's no hope or when we're scared of what might come in the future, even if nobody else knows about it right now, even if it's just kind of starting off privately, when things appear impossible, at least to me, it seems that's the most crucial time when we need to kind of cling to a promise like we hear from the Archangel Gabriel.
That's a beautiful insight. You know, just considering, you know, maybe even the state of certainly Mary, I think, as she sort of says, well, this could mean a public execution and a death. But also sort of, you know, the connection to the promises that God has made to Israel and especially to David that he would build a house, an everlasting kingdom, an expectation of Davidic Messiah, that probably people have lost a certain hope in that promise as well. A nation that fell into exile, continues to be in chaos, is invaded by a foreign war. All those things, and yet God always seems to come in an unexpected way in an unexpected hour. And so there is an incredible hope that we see that God has finally sort of fulfilled that promise in the fullness of time with Mary. And even though we can't always see when those moments take place, God is at work where we can't see Him. And so we can cling to faith, and we can say a full yes to God because we know who He is, even if we don't know exactly how He is working or is going to work or has already worked and we just don't seem to see it yet.
You know, another thing that as I was reflecting on this too is thinking about, and again, we want to look at Mary saying yes to God's call for her, but I find it interesting that in St. Luke's account of this interaction, this dialogue between Gabriel and Mary, When he initially greets her, you know, we pray it every time in the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. And we just add her name in there. But right after the archangel greets her, it says that she's troubled, and not just troubled, but quote-unquote greatly troubled. For me, most of the time when I think about this scene from Scripture, when I reflect on it, if I am praying the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, a lot of times it's part of this exciting moment. You know, we know the end of the story. We know that it is the birth of Jesus. We know what's to come here. But I think going back to what you said, that we don't necessarily know what's happening when we're in that moment, you know, for us or for Mary. She's there in that moment. And so it's not necessarily that joyful response that she has at the outset of this conversation. Why do you think that she was greatly troubled there? What can we gain from that response on her part? How can that help us as we might be in the midst of something that, in retrospect, you know, in the coming months or years, we could look back and say, oh, of course that was a joyful occurrence because of the outcome. But at that moment, it doesn't seem like there's any joy in the future.
Yes, I think, you know, that's a beautiful place of the mystery to ponder. So often we can't really predict how God will work. You know, I think this is the thing that where I'm assigned now, I work with college students primarily, and they're often wondering what their future holds and what path they should follow and what their vocation is and those sorts of things. And there's this sort of, it just seems impossible that in the state where people are, that God could bring about the outcome that people hope for, that they long for. And, you know, I can imagine Mary in that moment knowing that, okay, I'm about to become the mother of the Messiah. God's fulfilling that promise, but there are so many obstacles seeming ahead of us. Not to mention, you know, one of the places she's greatly troubled, our traditions is that, you know, it's likely that she had committed herself to virginity from a young age. And, well, I'm supposed to be a mother, and yet how is this going to be possible? Because I don't want to break my promise to God, and yet God is asking this of me. And so there's sort of this troubling, often paradox, that it seems like in the human way of thinking, the earthly way of thinking, that something isn't going to be possible. And yet also, you know, the trust we have in God, which is in contrast to that so often, is that all things are possible for God. And I think, you know, when we have those things come together and they sort of crash in the various moments or situations of life, you know, it's got to be that trust in God that wins out. And, you know, a pondering of those mysteries within the heart. I don't know if that quite answered your question, Josh. Did I kind of get to it?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the word that you kind of have gone back to again and again is that trust. And so one thing that comes to mind is with Mary, even though, you know, there's this dialogue that happens, it's a pretty brief encounter. And she says yes right away at the end. We have so many reluctant people that we can look at in Scripture, you know, people that are called directly by God, and, you know, God even appears or speaks directly to them, and they are hesitant to do what God is asking. We see it with Moses when God speaks to him in the burning bush, and Moses tries to make all kinds of excuses why he's not the right one, why he can't go and talk to the Pharaoh. We see it with Jonah, and he ends up running away, and he doesn't want to do what God's asking, until finally he spends a few days in the belly of a giant fish, and then, okay, if you just save me, God, I'll go do what you're asking. I'll go preach this message of repentance to the people of Nineveh. And there are many more, of course, that we could go through, but how do you think we prepare ourselves to get to that point of trust like Mary, get in that proper mindset, that proper disposition, so that we can say yes immediately, so that we can have that, you know, no reservations. We can just have that trust that's already there in our lives. And I'm going to imagine that part of this is it has to be kind of a building up those spiritual muscles so that we're always on the ready. You know, it's not something where it's a knee-jerk reaction and we fail at it.
Yes, I think that's very keen insight as well. As you know, Mary, this is not her first act of faith, I'm sure. She has been faithful her whole life through, and she is no doubt in various moments of her life come to know who God is as he's revealed himself in the Hebrew religion of the time, you know, and through the various salvation history sort of events, she's come to know who God is. And I think it very deeply is a question of identity, of knowing who God is and who he's shown himself to be, and you know, really submitting ourselves day in and day out to sort of a confidence in God's identity. You know, I think one of the key aspects of the fall of the first Adam and the first Eve is this place where the enemy slips in a very subtle way, and he says, you know, God didn't really say if you eat of the tree that you die, did he? And it's a very subtle way of saying you can't trust him. He's not who he says he is, right? He isn't really the good and loving God he reveals himself to be. He's actually jealous of you. He's withholding some good thing from you. And yet, Adam and Eve, the first, sort of believe that lie. They lose a sense of God's identity, and so they are disobedient. They grasp for themselves rather than trusting God, their Father, to give to them what they long for and desire, which he had prepared to give to them even, which is this to be like God, you know, already in the image and likeness of him. God had a plan to bring them into the very inner life of himself in the fullness of time. And what we see in Mary as the new Eve, and of course our Lord is the new Adam, is they never believe the lie that the enemy so subtly whispers to them. We see it very clearly in the temptation of Christ in the desert, or in the agony of the garden, or even in this moment when Mary is faced by the realities of saying yes to God. You know, the temptation is to believe that God doesn't really have our good in store for us, that, you know, how could this ever work out? Like, is God punishing me is often the thought that we have, or is God really love me, these sorts of things. Mary and our Lord are prepared for this moment of absolute, because they never doubt the identity of God. They never doubt the goodness of God. And so they hold on to the truth of who God is, and they also then clearly see the truth of their own identities, of who they are before the Lord. And so in that, I think, is the readiness of faith. It's very relational. It's very personal. And it's, I know this God who is asking this of me, and I know how good he is, and I know his power, his majesty, his might, all those things. And so they are able to respond in those moments with an absolute faith. And so if we want to cultivate that in ourselves, I think the desire then is to know the Lord, right? It's sitting before the Lord on the cross. It's meeting him in the place of prayer each day. It's the reception of the sacraments and receiving that divine life within ourselves and cooperating with that grace. It's growing in virtue of doing right action and making a habit of it. It's all of those things. And when we build a life around this truth of who God is and who we are before him, we develop a disposition, a character of ready faith, of moving in cooperation with God's mystery within us, that divine life in us. And we're ready. We're you know, I think the psalm says, like a slave on the eyes on the hand of the master, that we're constantly in tune with the Lord, ready to move as he wills, and we're just waiting for his signal. And so it's kind of, I think, all those things kind of combined together of building a life in those things, in the little moments, not just in the big moments, but in the daily, the ordinary routine of life even.
Right, yeah. That being ready, that's really key there. And we're speaking with our spiritual director today, Father Craig DeYoung, a priest in the Diocese of Austin, Texas. And how are you ready to say yes when God calls you? How have you said yes to God in your own life? Was there a time where you've been reluctant to say yes? Or did you immediately respond with that yes, just like Mary did when the Archangel Gabriel came to her? We're looking at the Solemnity of the Annunciation, how we can live out that yes, how we can be ready with that response whenever God calls us, wherever he wants to lead us. If you've had that experience in your life and you can look back and say, this is how God has led me and this is how I've been able to grow in that trust and that love for God, we'd love to hear how you've been able to live that out. The phone number you can call is 888-914-9149. That's the studio line, 888-914-9149, or you can email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'll be back with more here on the Solemnity of the Annunciation on The Inner Life, here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life Spiritual Directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. The Inner Life with Josh Raymond on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. We're speaking with our spiritual director, Father Craig DeYoung, a priest in the Diocese of Austin, Texas. And we're talking about Mary saying yes. It's the Solemnity of the Annunciation. And when she said yes, and she knew that she was being asked to be the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Savior, of the Messiah, the Promised One. And how have you said yes to God in your own life? Where has He called you to go? When have you had that time where you've said yes? Or maybe when have you had that time where you didn't say yes? And maybe God had to drag you back in and say, no, this is really where I want you to be. How did that go for you? We'd love to hear how God has worked in your life. 888-914-9149. That's the studio line. You can call in and speak with us. 888-914-9149 or email innerlife@relevantradio.com. Also want to mention, all next week during this hour of The Inner Life, actually this show won't be on. We're going to have Father Rocky's Holy Week mission entitled Close to Jesus to the Last, The Passion of Christ in Five Parts. And I really hope you will plan to tune in each day to listen. Father will give you so many different things to contemplate as we walk together with Jesus throughout Holy Week, leading up to the cross, the crucifixion on Good Friday. So if possible, I know a lot of times, you know, when you're tuning in and out of the radio, you might only have a chance to listen for 10 minutes or 15 or 20 minutes here or there. But if possible, I really encourage you to set aside that hour each day for next week to listen to Father Rocky's Holy Week mission. But again, talking about the Annunciation today, and if you want to call in, again, the phone number, 888-914-9149. And Father Craig, as we've been talking here, one of the things that I thought was very interesting is, you know, you've been talking about having that trust, and you mentioned that Mary, she never really doubts the goodness of God, even though there might be, you know, just the wondering of, okay, what does this mean? But she never doubts the goodness of God, and that leads her to be able to say yes so readily. But right before she says yes, I think it's significant that she does ask Gabriel a question. And we, when we're asked to do something by God, we might not understand all the reasons behind where God is calling us, what He wants us to do. Mary's asking these questions, and I take it as an indication it's okay for us to ask for more information about what's happening when God calls us to go someplace that might be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's a beautiful insight. I think too, you know, Mary's act of faith is one of obedience, and we know the root of the word obedience means to listen to. And I think what we see here is, as contrasted with maybe some of the other other people who have said yes to the Lord, but maybe with an initial response that was not so trusting. Good example of this contrast with it is that also in Luke's gospel with Zechariah that he responds sort of differently than Mary does, and you know, is punished for the way he responds. And I think the different factor here is the incredulity. You know, Mary's question is still in the spirit of obedience. It's not a blind obedience. It's an obedience that seeks to listen to her God, right? It seeks to understand what that word is, not to question whether that's the right idea or not, Lord, you know, to tell God what he should be doing. But rather it's, I trust who you are, Lord, and I believe that you are speaking to me, and I want to listen in such a way as to understand so I can truly be obedient, that I can do your will and not my own.
And so for us, then sometimes we think when God is moving us towards something or we're asked to make an act of obedience to an authority that has been placed over us by the Lord, be that mom or dad, be that your parish priest or your bishop, that we ought not to ask questions, we should just do. And yet there is room, appropriately, I think, with a trust in who God is and a trust in the authorities that he's placed in our lives, be that your mom or your dad, for example, if you're a younger person with your parents. But it's a listening to understand what is the will and the heart of God. And there's opportunity for heart which speaks to heart, you know, which is really what prayer is, I think, this lifting of mind of heart to God. But it's a heart-to-heart with our Lord. And so we're seeking to do his will, to understand his will as best we can, and to accept what he gives, and where maybe he doesn't give, not to demand that we would have a perfect clarity or that somehow it happened according to the way we think it ought to happen. But rather it's a dialogue with the Lord to really seek to understand the Lord's heart, to open our hearts with trust and confidence and to receive from the Lord's heart whatever it is he wants to speak to us or ask of us. And so I think the difference is to not ask those questions with sort of incredulity or with sort of a sense of I'm going to change God's mind to my will or something like that, or a disbelief even that God is good, right, which we've already talked about a little bit. And instead, when we have that conversation with God, it's I may have my preferences, Lord, but I want to do your will, and here is the place where I'm trying to understand your will. Help me to understand, because I want to be perfectly one with you, Almighty God.
Yeah, it reminds me of Jesus in the garden, where just before he's arrested, he's asking for the cup to pass, you know, but not my will, yours be done, Father. And so having that ability to, as you said, you know, the questions arise in the spirit of obedience. And I was thinking about that too. Mary asks how, you know, the one question that I usually go to if I'm facing something difficult in my life is not, well, how are we going to get through this, God? It's usually, why are you doing this, God? You know, the why. And Mary didn't ask that why. She didn't. And I think maybe that goes back to that spirit of obedience. If God wants what's best for us, and that goes back to that trust as well, should we leave that why question out of it when God calls us to do something? We can ask the how or what do you want me to do? But, you know, don't say, oh, why are you doing this?
Yeah, that sounds like a safe bet. I think, you know, we see this again a little bit later in Luke's gospel. I think there's two places where it says Mary pondered these things in her heart. One is after the birth of Jesus and the various sort of events that surround that moment. And the other is after they find Christ in the temple, I think, at the two places it says. I may be mistaken about that, but she ponders these things in her heart. These mysteries reveal God. God communicates himself, right, reveals himself in these mysteries. And the heart which Mary has of obedience seeks to know and love her God. And so any way that God is speaking to her, she wants to understand. She wants to know more deeply her Lord. And she's coming to know him in the most intimate of ways, of bearing him to life and to birth and to share his earthly life with him and also then his heavenly life with him. And she ponders him in her heart. And so I think, you know, this why question, if asked, should be done with that heart of, okay, I know who God is. I trust that he is good and loving, that his will for me is what is good, and I will submit myself to it. And so if there's a why involved, it has to be done with that spirit. And I think the how question is certainly appropriate. But that's also sort of a trust that maybe God doesn't give the how. Maybe we don't always know how. And yet the Lord gives us enough, because the Lord doesn't just want sort of, I think, a blind obedience or just a belief in him even. But he wants love and he wants faith and he wants hope. And so for those things to exist, you're not going to have certainty. You're going to have confidence. And I think your insight is good. I think, you know, there's certainly room for a conversation and a dialogue with the Lord, but it's a pondering. It's a seeking God's will. It's a not telling God what his will ought to be or second-guessing God when he tells us something that we ought to do.
I also think as you're talking about pondering, you know, Mary pondered at those different points when events happened. And we see that, you know, even here when she's troubled by the angel's greeting, and it says that she ponders what sort of greeting this might be, that in our contemporary society, at least my experience has been, there's so many times where you don't give yourself enough time to just think and reflect, be in quiet, be in solitude, that you can have that ability to think back on what has happened in my life. How is God trying to talk to me, or what does this mean for my life? What can I take away from this? And that might be another lesson, that I'm just thinking about as you're talking about Mary taking those times to ponder these things and consider them, that it's a good lesson for us to say, yeah, let us also put away the cell phones, turn off the television, you know, get away from the computer, whatever that distraction or that noise is that fills up so many minutes and hours of our days, that we can just step back and say, no, let me just reflect on this a little bit. What has been happening in my life? But I think that also might be a scary thing, because you start reflecting, you start pondering those things, and you might come up with, you know, God is leading me in a way that doesn't match the plans I'm hoping to have.
Yes, I think this also speaks to the sacramental nature of reality. What I mean by that is that God uses visible means to communicate in invisible realities, and he likes to use what he has made to share himself with us. And the beauty of that, of course, is that God is always then speaking through our lived experiences, that he's speaking through under the reality in which we live, to share himself with us, to have that heart-to-heart with us. And if we're only living sort of exteriorly in the body, and we don't take time to have a certain interiority, to go into the heart, to the inner room, to the place where we have that intimate encounter with God who's within, we're going to miss out on what God's saying. And he is speaking. And so often we wonder, you know, I work so much with college students, and they're constantly wondering, well, why can't I hear God speaking? Why can't I hear what he's saying to me? And we're sorting that sort of stuff out as we sort of work together and talk together. And what we have to develop is that sort of tuning in, of listening, right? If we're going to be obedient again, you know, that word means to listen, and we have to be able to listen to God's voice. And we can't demand that God speak only in the way that we want him to. With signs, you know, as, you know, the Jewish people are looking for these signs, speak in the way that I expect, or even through reason, as the Greek people were looking for these very eloquent and rhetorical arguments about things. We want to take God on his terms, because it's better than our terms. And that takes an interiority and ability to sort of chew on, ponder the things that are happening in our lives, and submitting them with love to the God who loves us, and trusting him to make clear what it is that he's saying. And if we don't get that, not to demand it, but to accept with love what it is that he is saying and does make clear to us with confidence.
Our spiritual director today, Father Craig DeYoung, a priest in the Diocese of Austin, Texas, pastor of Our Lady of Wisdom University Parish there at Texas State University in San Marcos, Texas, and looking today at it being the solemnity of the Annunciation, how we can live out that obedience, that trust, that we can follow that example that our Blessed Mother gave us, that Mary set for us when she, receiving the message from the Archangel Gabriel, she responded simply that I am the handmaid of the Lord, and may it be done to me according to your word. How have you lived that out in your life? When has it been difficult to live that out? Did it go well? Did it not go well? Did you try and run away from it? How has God worked in your life as you've tried to follow Mary's example and say, yes, yes, God, whatever you're calling for me to do, wherever you're leading, I want to do that. You can give us a call and share your story, 888-914-9149. Again, the phone number, 888-914-9149, or email innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'll be back with more here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
My family prays the rosary every evening, and sometimes we do join your Relevant Radio rosary. The kids love it. It also takes away any worries we have. I find that the children sleep better. We all sleep better. If we have to skip the rosary one night, or we think we have to skip it because we got home really late, we always regret it. In fact, last night, my little guy, who's 6, came out of bed and said, "Mommy, I just don't feel right. I need the rosary." I said, "All right, everybody back out of bed."
The Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio. If you missed part of the program, you can listen to this show and any of your favorites on the Relevant Radio app or online at relevantradio.com. The Inner Life with Josh Raymond on Relevant Radio.
It is the solemnity of the Annunciation, and we're looking at Mary's example for us, how we can follow that example of saying yes when God calls us into maybe uncertain, unfamiliar, even kind of uncomfortable territory in our lives, and how we can say yes, have that trust, have that obedience when God does place that call on us. And you can call in and share your story of how that's happened in your own life. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I want to say thanks to Nick Schmitz and Jim Shaper for running everything behind the scenes here and making everything go extremely smoothly. And we're our spiritual director today, Father Craig DeYoung, a priest in the Diocese of Austin, Texas. And Father Craig, let's go to the phones. We've got Dana, who's listening to us in New York City. Hi, Dana. Welcome to The Inner Life today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I want to share my story. It was also involving an unplanned pregnancy. Certainly, this was not a blessed event, but so I was young. I had a child already, and the father had left me, and I ended up becoming pregnant again by the same person, and it was really embarrassing for me. So I just was full of shame, and I felt like I couldn't tell anybody. So when I did tell a relative, they said, the first thing they said was, "You have to have an abortion. You can't even keep it." And so that's what I felt, and I was really scared. And I had, this was like the early age of the internet, and I went to some GeoCities website, and it was like how to have an herbal abortion, and I had attempted to do that, and then it said if this doesn't work, you must follow through with a medical abortion. So I was like, oh, you know, it's just, you know, really scared. And then I had spoken with a Franciscan friar and told him, I opened up to him, and he said, everything's okay. Don't worry, everything's fine. I was like, no, I can't. I've ruined this baby. It's not even going to be normal. And it was just like, you know, full of fear. And but I did end up deciding to keep the baby and tell everybody, my family. And when I thought they were all going to be ashamed as well, they were just so happy that it was by the same guy, I guess. I don't know. And then so I had the baby, and then eventually he came back around, and we ended up getting married, and we have a bunch of kids, and he ended up becoming Catholic, and we live a wonderful Catholic life where we pray the rosary every day, and just not at all what I had imagined back then when I was 20 years old.
Wow, Dana, that's such a beautiful story. I mean, it started out, obviously, in a very difficult circumstance, and no doubt, you know, it was very difficult in the time to sort of see clearly, but, you know, this is such a beautiful story in relationship to today that you were able to see that and hope that God could bring good out of a situation that was not maybe good at the time. And that is the beauty, I think, of the cross of Jesus Christ, is that we look at one of the most humanly horrific sorts of events in history, that God comes to us and we end up putting him to death. And yet from that place, the mystery of the resurrection and life given to the entire world comes out of it. And, you know, I just thank you for saying your yes to the Lord and the ways that he has brought about this transformation of your life through your yes is how God likes to work in faith and in hope and in love.
Yeah, Dana, really, really appreciate you calling in and sharing, especially such a personal story. And Father Craig, as Dana was sharing, one of the things that struck me is she said there was that embarrassment, that kind of fear mm-hmm. of sharing with her family that she was pregnant again, and that was, you know, that could have been a catalyst for making a worse decision. And a lot of times right. when we're in those moments, that fear, the fear of what might happen, even though we don't know how other people will respond or what the future holds for us, but those fears of what might happen, they can actually paralyze us or lead us to make those wrong decisions. And that's just another example of how we need to look and trust that, you know, we don't know how people will respond, or we don't know what the future holds for us. And so we need to try and just stay on the right path.
It does seem to be a pretty common thread in people's experiences are dreading making a decision. And there's all these worries about what if, or what will happen, or how it'll happen. And yet saying yes to the Lord, those things are ultimately not obstacles. I mean, that, you know, there's a way through those things with faith as well. And I think, again, it's this trust that God is, if he's calling us to the good in front of us, there is a way through the obstacles, that they won't be completely barriers. And so by saying yes, that unlocks a lot of graces and a lot of opportunities for the Lord to work as well.
Our studio line that you can call and share your story of saying yes to God and following that example of Mary as we're celebrating today the solemnity of the Annunciation. You can call us 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father Craig, let's go back to the phones. We've got Ray, who is listening in Reno, Nevada. Hi, Ray. Welcome to The Inner Life today.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. Mine is a little bit different. I actually asked to make it possible for me to take care of my husband in the last 10 years of his fight with Alzheimer's. And to do that, I had to quit a very lucrative job, not knowing how it would play out. I had interference from people that loved us that said I was doing the wrong thing. And I just, you know, dug my heels in and said, no, this is what's going to happen. He's going to stay home as long as we possibly can. And I was able to keep him home until December 23rd, 2019. And he passed January 5th, 2020. So mine is more of a, you know, I asked for it. He gave it to me and made it possible. And by the end, the other people realized I had done the right thing. So,
Ray, that's a beautiful and loving sacrifice and a great witness to, you know, the sacrament of marriage as well. Wow. I'm sure Josh gets to hear these stories all the time, but that is very inspiring. And taking on sacrifices out of love for God and love for one another is very much what the Lord invites us to and shows us that it's very fulfilling. I would ask maybe, Ray, if you're still there, you know, what was some of the fruit of that spiritually for you going through that process and ultimately your husband passing, I guess, right around Christmas time, maybe a birth into eternal life would be our hope, along with the Lord who's born into the world for that purpose. Did you experience any graces from that?
I believe so. One of the things I had prayed for is for my husband to be baptized. He didn't fight it. He just didn't realize it was important. And probably 2 weeks before he passed, the bishop granted that possibility, and he was baptized about 2 weeks before he passed. And then when going through his shop, I found some private notes that he had made in a Bible that was given to him. It was called a cowboy Bible because we're quite Western. So, you know, answers, things like that. I never really felt any anxiety. I was always at peace with my decision. So, you know, I guess that would be the grace that I received.
That's so beautiful, Ray. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, and Father, as you were saying, you know, it's such a testament to her marriage vows there, too, that Ray was sharing, you know, the typical vows that we hear, you know, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, and not running away when you have a spouse there that needs your help, needs your care. So, yeah, Ray, that it's just so encouraging to hear that. And Father Craig, you said, you know, yeah, maybe Josh gets to hear these stories all the time. They're always amazing. I'm always astounded, Father, at how God works in people's lives and how willing they are to share some of these personal journeys, these personal experiences they've been through. Father, let's go back to the phones. We've got Adriana, who's listening in Los Angeles. Hi, Adriana. We've only got a couple minutes, but wanted to get you on the air here before the show ends.
Hi. Hello, Father. I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought, but I was calling because I had my last baby at 39, and they told us he was going to have Down syndrome. So I was devastated because I didn't know anything about Down syndrome. I didn't think I was going to have any more children. And fast forward to 5 years later, he is such a blessing to us. And I realize now that we needed him. He didn't need us. And, you know, God's plan's better and bigger and brighter than ours. And so it's just amazing to see his little milestones, him reaching his milestones. Yes, it's hard, but he's just amazing.
Oh, what a joy. I have had that experience of meeting people with Down syndrome, and this is often such the case. Is there's such joy in receiving them from the Lord into our lives, and I think this is the beautiful confidence we can gain from the Lord, is that his will truly is for our good. It's not opposed to our good. And so when God wills, it actually will bring us to a greater fulfillment when we embrace the invitation from him, and it's often the sacrifice that God is asking of us. But it becomes a joyful sacrifice when united to the will of God, and with trust in his goodness and with faith, even with the obstacles that can often be very real that come with those things.
Yeah. And Adriana, as you're telling your story, it really kind of reflects what my wife and I have experienced in our lives, too, because our youngest child, his name is Joseph, and he was born with Down syndrome as well. And he's just been such a blessing to our house, our family. You know, he gets doted on by all of his older siblings. And, you know, it's hard to imagine life before him, just because he has been such a shining part of our family life. And, you know, every one of the older siblings are always carrying him around, always, you know, playing with him. I don't even know if he knows what it's like to be lonely, because he really hasn't had that opportunity. So thanks for calling in and sharing. Father, as we're down to just the last minute and a half here of the show, I thought it might be good for us also to take just a moment here. We've been talking a lot about Mary and her yes, but the Annunciation is also where Jesus becomes incarnate. You know, St. Paul describes it in his letter to the Philippians as Jesus emptying himself out, taking on the form of a slave, becoming humble and obedient to death. How can we, just again, with a brief thought here, how can we look with fresh eyes at the Almighty, the all-powerful God who has no beginning and no end, and how he comes to us as this infant when we are unable to approach him because of our sinfulness? He opens the door to heaven.
Yes, it is the mystery of the incarnation, that God becomes man so that man might become God. And there's this beauty of revelation in this that teaches us that who God is, that his divinity is compatible with humanity, and that he is the one who initiates out of love that interaction. And so it opens for us the mystery of sharing in the very life of God for which we are created.
Mm. Father Craig DeYoung, our spiritual director today, and Father, we're down to about the last 10 seconds here of the show, but can I ask you for a final blessing for our listeners?
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour your grace and your Holy Spirit upon all those who listen today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Father Craig, thank you so much for being with us and being our spiritual director here on The Inner Life. And I want to encourage you to stay tuned. We've got Father Rocky coming up next. He'll be celebrating Mass. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about looking ahead to Palm Sunday and Holy Week, how we can prepare to make it the best Holy Week possible. We'll have that conversation here on The Inner Life tomorrow.